Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. It is Wednesday, July the 26th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you today. Today is going to be hot. Y'all ready for it? It's Wisdom Wednesday. And today's topic is going to be amazing. 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. That's going to be our topic today. I hope y'all are ready for it. As always, it's your boy, your host, Miss Dana L. King. And look, I'm in the studio by myself. Y'all know how that happens. Stuff just happens. But my good brother, Michael Henderson, has some things he had to do down at the church. And pastoring comes first. Y'all know that. Y'all know that better than any of us, that pastoring comes first. I can't be mad when he say, hey, I got some stuff I got to do down at the church. So, but we're going to be good. The show will go on as always. Hopefully you guys will stick around and stay tuned for it. It's going to be good. It's going to be hot. But again, today's topic of conversation, 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. That's going to be good. Does your church need revitalization? That's a good conversation. I guess we'll find out today. It's going to be hot. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. We're also on Instagram. I forget to tell y'all that sometime, but you can also follow us on the gram. Follow us on Instagram, TTLO Radio. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Just do a simple search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon. We'd be glad to hear from you that way. Also, the live stream on Facebook, Facebook Live. Come on in the room. I see y'all. I see y'all coming on in. Y'all came in early, too. Y'all was in for the pre-show. We started about 3 minutes early. You know, I wasn't rushing today. I had to be down here at the church at 10 o'clock, so I guess I couldn't be rushing today, right? So, but I'm good. But Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can definitely find us there. Greatly appreciate those of you who always chime in on Facebook Live. Man, I love you. I love my Facebook people. Y'all is awesome. Appreciate y'all. Really do. And then if you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. And we'd love to read that email over the air. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast by simply doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon on any of your podcast mediums, whether it be iTunes, Blogger, Stitcher, any of those things. You can find us there. Amen. So look, I got a lot of announcements, right? I got all these announcements. I said I'm gonna keep my word. I told these people, it's like, man, can you announce my event? Here's the deal. I am all about supporting people who do great things in our community and trying to do things to uplift our people. And if you got an event and it's something, and here's the deal, let me say this: proven people. Because see, some of y'all, you know, some of us have a bad habit of throwing events, and you've never been proven. You know, I need to know something about you before I start pubbing your event. So when I pub people's events on my show, it's because I know the type of work they do, and I know whatever they put together is going to be done in excellence. So that's why you hear me only pull up certain people's events, and that's just me, and that keeps that keeps the integrity of the show together, and it keeps us, you know, I'm not just sending y'all out because my friend is throwing an event. I send you all out. I send you all this information because I want you to have it, and I think it's worthwhile for you all to have this information. Anytime we get it, I think it's worthwhile for you to have it. So I'm looking forward to continuing to share this stuff with you all. But let me get it started. Let me get it started. Let me run down all of these events. Y'all ready? I know, right? Y'all ready? Because it's a boatload. Let me start with the one coming up this weekend. This weekend, my twin sister, Angela L. Johnson. She was on Thursday. Big kudos to her, too, for early today. She was on Gospel Radio 1390 with Sonia Blakely earlier today. If you didn't get a chance to catch it, I did. I was so proud of her. Angela, you did amazing. Always proud when our people get to do when I see our people doing some amazing things. And, you know, I look at it this way. Everybody, even though, you know, everybody's got their own deal, I consider everybody, you know, TTLO family, let me put it that way. And the fact that she was out there, she was representing one sister to another. She was also representing her church. But, you know, we also consider her a part of our family here at TTLO. So it was good to see her in her natural element. And I'm going to say this real quick. Angela Johnson, you look good on 1390, and you sounded good on 1390. They need to go on ahead and put you on 1390. You know, I saw what tell Sonia you can sub for her sometime. You can sub for her sometime. You know, if she'll let you. I know they got rules and regulations over there, but I know how that go. But anyway, I was glad to see her in her element this morning. It was great. It was great. It was great. Again, it was great to see her in that particular in her element on today. Real quick. So let me start with her event this Saturday. Now, the event is full. But this is what she said. Now, the event is full. However, they will not turn your kids away. She's got 200 kids coming already, but they will not turn your kids away. If you want to take your kids to this 2017 Youth Explosion, it's going to be in Villa Park, Illinois. It's Saturday, this coming Saturday, July 29th, starts at 2 p.m. The address is 17 West 620 Riordan Road. It's Riordan Road. That's in Villa Park, Illinois, 60181. It's hosted by God's Elite. It's from Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach International Church. That's Angela Johnson's church, my twin. Y'all know she's been on here. She's hosted the show for me a couple of weeks ago. They hosted the show for me in my absence, her and Cornelius Williams, Prophet Cornelius Williams, and I appreciate them for that. But you definitely want to tune in on this. Again, this is Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach International. I'm going to make sure you all see these events. I'm posting them on the Taking the Limits Off radio page as I announce them now. So I want to make sure you get a chance. To see them. They are there. They're going to be there right now. So you guys can go there and see them. It's the Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach 2017 Summer Youth Explosion, music, games, and workshops hosted by God's Elite. They're only asking for $3 or $5 per child. It's a donation. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. But they're only asking that you get that. Y'all can afford $5. Don't act like you can't. You can afford $5. You can send donations accepted via PayPal at robertjohnson809@gmail.com. So, again, that's this Saturday, this Saturday, July 29th, 2017. Festivities begin at 2 p.m. That's in Villa Park. Again, Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach International Church. Pastor Robert L. Johnson, Pastors Robert L. and Angela L. Johnson are the pastors of that church. You guys can go out and support them. You can take your kids. Yes, they are full, but I spoke with her this morning, and I listened to her on 1390. They will not be turning any kids away, so you definitely want to take, if you have an opportunity, go out there. They are going to have some book bags and stuff for kids. They are still looking for donations. They're looking for, they need paper. They need folders. They do need some stuff to help fill up the rest of the book bag. She told me, I heard her say this morning, she got 50 additional book bags that she needs to get filled up. So she got the bags. Now she just needs some supplies. So y'all can help her out. Go to her Facebook page, Angela L. Johnson. You'll see her name. Do a search. Contact her if you want. If you have some stuff you can send her, between now and Saturday. That's a couple days away, but she's still looking to get some stuff. Definitely want to do that. Definitely want to do that. I know y'all are coming in the room, but I want to get these announcements out. I appreciate y'all. I'm going to speak to y'all. I just saw some of y'all come in. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. I'm going to come on, and we're going to get to it. The next one, the next event coming up is, let me make sure I get this one. Let me make sure I'm going to get the dates right. They're all coming back to back. Healing the Hood. Healing the Hood. That's my brother, Pastor Cornelius Parks. You know, he normally sitting right here next to me. Pastor Parks, Healing the Hood, Sunday, August the 6th, 2017. That's Sunday. After you get out of church, August the 6th, 2017. So that means after y'all done did communion, after y'all done did y'all's communion, it's Sunday, August 6th, 2017, at 3 p.m. It's going to be at Washington Park. They're doing a book bag back to school giveaway. Watch this. 3,000 book bags. They're giving away 3,000 book bags at Washington Park here in the city of Chicago. That's Sunday, August 6th, 2017, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pastor Cornelius Parks and Black, let me make sure I get the name of the group right, and Black Scent. Yeah, and Black Scent presents Healing the Hood Back to School Giveaway Sunday, August 6, 2017, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. They're giving away 3,000 book bags with school supplies. So if you know some folk and you got to take your kids, you got to have your kids with you to get the book bag. You got to bring the kids with you to get your book bag. They're not going to just hand book bags to adults and you ain't got not a kid with you. So bring your kids. There's going to be food out there. There's going to be fun, softball to be played, all types of stuff. They're going to have retired and current NFL football players out there. They're going to be signing autographs. There's going to be a softball game, a legend softball game. And then they're going to have a softball game for the kids to play. So it's going to be a lot of activities out there for your children. You're always saying there's nothing for the kids to do. There's nothing for the kids to do. This is something your kids can do on a Sunday. So this is what you can do. You can take your kids to church that Sunday morning, and then y'all can go and hang out in Washington Park. Over by where the softball diamonds are, and y'all can get over there and hang out in Washington Park for this event, Healing the Hood Back to School Giveaway, presented by my brother, Pastor Cornelius Parks, and the Black and a company called Black Scent. They are going to be out there. They're looking for you all to come. They still need people to help pass out bags. You got 3,000 book bags. You know you need people. Y'all know that, right? You need people to pass out book bags. So they're still looking for you all to come out and help if you can. He needs volunteers. He needs people. So if you're able to get out there, please, please, my brother, I am asking you, I'm beseeching you to come out and hang out with us. I will definitely be there on August 5th. August 6th at his event. Again, that's August 6th, August 6th, 2017. You can be out there with us in Washington Park. That's going to be a good time. Again, that's Healing the Hood Back to School giveaway. You don't want to miss it. All right, next one. I told y'all I got a lot of announcements. I got a whole lot of announcements. I'm doing it. I'm going to keep my word. The next one is the following. Let's see. It's the Wednesday workshop, Wednesday, August the 2nd. So this is the Wednesday before the Washington Park, August 2nd. The Youth Revival 2017 is going to be at First Baptist Congregational Church. First Baptist Congregational Church. That's over here on the west side of Chicago. First Baptist Congregational Church. Pastor Anthony Spencer, Sr., pastor of Christ-Centered Ministries, will be the host. He will be the pastor. And musical guest Alexis Shepherd will be there on August the 2nd. Again, the Wednesday Workshop Youth Revival Wildlife. That's the name of the youth organization over at the church. That's August 2nd, 2017 at 7 p.m. at First Baptist Congregational Church. First Baptist Congregational Church. Oh, Lord. Too much going on. Yeah, First Baptist Congregational Church located at 1613 West Washington Boulevard. That's Chicago, Illinois. That's right on the corner of Ashland and Washington. You cannot miss it. Big old church right over there. You want to take your kids over there. It's the Wildlife Youth Ministries. It's going to be a great event. My brother, Danny Jones, is the youth pastor over there at First Baptist Congregational. And if you have some, let me tell you this too. If you got some kids and you're looking for a place where you can take your kids, where they have a thriving youth ministry, where you know it's a real youth ministry and not just someplace that's babysitting your kids, I recommend that church for you for that. They have a thriving youth ministry over there at First Baptist Congregational. It's an amazing, amazing time. So again, that's Wednesday, August. That's going to be August the 2nd, August 2nd. Wildlife Youth Revival 2017, and the first week is going to be Pastor Anthony Spencer, Senior Pastor from Christ-Centered Ministries, with musical guest Alexis Shepherd. Woo! Okay, and then, let me go down. Next one, my God. And then this one, I'm waiting on this one. I hope y'all ready for this, right? This event, Light Fest. They've been announcing it on WGCI Radio. They've been announcing it on 1390. It's been announced on V103, and we're announcing it here on TTLO Radio. Light Fest, featuring Grammy Award-winning artists Israel Houghton and New Breed, Anita Wilson, and Todd Delaney. This is going to be in Aurora. I know y'all saying Aurora, that's a long way, but watch this. It's in Aurora at Rivers Edge Park, August 13th. That's a Sunday evening. August 13th at 5 p.m. August 13th at 5 p.m. There's an event, Light Fest. Now, it's $35 for general admission, $55 for VIP tickets. Again, I'll read this again. $35 for general admission, $55 for VIP. You can go to RiversEdgeAurora.com or call Rivers Edge Ticket Office to get your tickets or to get them online. Or you can go to the Main Baptist Church website, Main Baptist Church in Aurora. You can get that information. But watch this. See, you know, some of y'all going in on Facebook, y'all might want to get ready for this now. And those of you listening on the line, we got tickets here at TTLO. I talked with Pastor Spencer, good friend of the show, friend of mine, mentor of mine. Pastor Julian Spencer called me. He said, man, look, I want to use your show. He said, if you've been pubbing my event, I'm going to give you some tickets to give away to your listeners. So watch this. We got 12 VIP tickets. 12 VIP tickets. Y'all heard me, right? Y'all don't hear me. We got 12 VIP tickets. I'm going to start giving them away on Friday. On Friday, we're going to do a giveaway on the show on Friday. We have 12 VIP tickets. We're giving them away in sets of two. Actually, I'm sorry, but there's 10. Let me get that right. There's 10 VIP tickets because I'm going to give two of them, donating two somewhere else. But there are 10 sets of tickets. You all can get them from us. It is going to be an awesome, awesome event. Who don't like Israel? Huh? Who don't like Israel and New Breed? Who don't love them some Todd Delaney?
Victory belongs.
Don't get me. Don't make me sing. Y'all know I can't sing. But I sing that. I hum that part, though. But Todd Delaney, Israel New Breed, they sing the theme for our show, Take the Limits Off, right? You know, they all them people of every nation. Y'all know we don't know the names of the song. But all of them songs. And then Anita Wilson.
Who opened the door?
That I, come on, y'all know the song. Jesus will. So she gonna be there. It's gonna be an amazing, amazing event. Y'all don't want to miss it. Again, that's August 13th, 5 p.m. You can get your tickets online, or you can try and wait until Friday and win some from us. Gonna have a contest. Now watch this. You're gonna have to know a lot about the show to win these tickets. You just can't be no fly by night listener. Because I'm going to go way back and ask y'all some questions. I'm going to ask y'all some questions about our host, about our co-host, about our producer, all of that stuff. There's going to be some questions, and you're going to want to know. So I'm going to make sure we put it out there. But on Friday, we're going to start giving away tickets to this event. It's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. I'm excited about it. And it's good, 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 good. And then, was that the last one? My God, I hope it was. Yeah, that's the last one. And then on Saturday, if you want to come out and hang out with your boy, y'all can come to my church picnic. July 29th, that's this Saturday. That's before Angela's event. You want to come out and hang out with me for a little while? Going to be right at the park. I can't remember the name of the park. Is it Sunset Ridge, North Avenue, and First? The Kingdom Baptist Church Church Picnic. You're welcome to come out, hang out with us. Going to be plenty of food, fun, entertainment, good stuff for the kids, for your family. Y'all come hang out, eat a little something. We ain't asking y'all for no money. Just come hang out, fellowship with us. It's going to be a good, good time. Amen. I done said a lot. Now I'm tired. And I'm almost out of breath. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into some more of our conversation. Y'all going to like it. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. We'll be right back. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of this Ricky Dillard. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. Peace. chance, one more chance. Thanks for giving me one more chance. Whew, got to thank him every time you get the opportunity. Thank God for giving you one more chance. I love it. I love it. I love that song. One more chance to get it right. One more chance to walk upright. Amen, amen, amen. So as I mentioned before, starting Friday, we will be giving away tickets. We're going to have a ticket giveaway for the Light Fest event out in Aurora. That is featuring Todd Delaney, Israel Houghton, and Anita Wilson. Going to be at River's Edge Park. So we're going to be giving away some tickets on Friday. So you got to make sure you tune in to Friday's show. Praise Break Friday. Got to make sure you tune in to Friday's show so you can get a chance to win those tickets. I'm going to give a set away on Facebook, and I'm going to give a set away to my Blog Talk listeners who are listening in via the phone or listening in via the internet. So I got to make sure everybody get a fair chance. It's going to be one set on Facebook, one set for my radio, for my people who are actually listening via Blog Talk Radio. You have to call in to win. It's going to be a call-in regardless. Either way, you got to call in, but it's going to be a call-in to win type event. It's going to be good. 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 I'm excited. So real quick, y'all, as I was getting ready to come in this morning, I stay in the news. I like watching the news, even though some of it sometimes is really bad news. I watch the news just so I can keep up with what's going on locally. But I'm also have always been interested in what's going on nationally as far as news goes. And one of the things that stuck out for me this morning that popped up in the news, and I don't know if you guys saw this, our president, and I have to say our because, you know, say what you want to say, but I'm still an American citizen, and whoever happens to be sitting in the office is our president. So however you feel about that, that's on you. But I'm just saying, you can't we can say what we want. We ain't gotta like him. But it's still some interesting stuff that's going on. But let me just go in for a minute on our president. Let me not go in, but let me say some stuff. So y'all know Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no filter. He never has. He's never had a filter. Okay. Why am I getting the commercial? Don't know. He has no filter whatsoever. Never has had a filter. But here is the issue. Today, Donald Trump is going to reinstate the U.S. military ban on transgender people. Our president, I know this is a Christian radio show, but y'all know I got to talk about the news when it comes up. Donald Trump, our president, like I said before, I ain't got to like him, but he's still our president. Donald Trump is reinstating the ban on transgender people from the military. It says President Donald Trump announced Wednesday that he plans to reinstate a ban on transgender individuals from serving in any capacity in the U.S. Armed Forces. It says the decision reversed a policy initiated and initially approved by the Defense Department under President Barack Obama, which was still under final review, that would allow transgender individuals to openly serve in the military. Defense Secretary James Mattis announced last month that he was delaying enactment of the plan to begin allowing transgender individuals to the U.S. military. This is what Donald Trump tweeted. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. That's what he said. It says, Ash Carter, the defense secretary under Obama, ended the ban on transgender people serving openly in the military in 2016, but allowed for a year-long review process to allow the Pentagon to determine how it would accept new transgender recruits into the military. On the eve of that one-year deadline, Mattis announced that he was delaying the implementation of a new policy, saying he needed more time. Since becoming Secretary of Defense, I've emphasized that the Department of Defense must measure each policy decision against one critical standard. Will the decision affect the readiness and lethality of the force? Mattis said in a memo last month, put another way, how will the decision affect the ability of America's military to defend the nation? It is against this standard that I provide the following guidance on the way forward in assessing transgender individuals. So I am just going to say this. I have never been, let me say this. I have never been one to, first of all, let me state this, and I guess it doesn't really matter. People are going to do what they want to do. They're going to live how they want to live, whether you be gay, straight, whatever. I never had an issue, me personally, with gay people wanting to serve in the military. I was glad when they got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I didn't even have an issue when President Obama decided to let LGBT people go and join the military. I thought it was great. Hey, if you want to, if we need the bodies and they have the body and they want to go, let them go. That was always thought process behind it. But this is somewhat amazing to me. But see, when you don't care about a certain sect of people, you can make these decisions and they won't have any ramifications on you. See, Donald Trump doesn't care about certain groups or sects of people, black, Hispanic, gay, you know, whatever, poor. He don't care because that's not who got him elected. Okay? So he has made a decision to keep this group of people out of the military. The report says Trump's decision is also another setback for the transgender community. Let me see this again. It says Trump's administration could chip away at the progress the community has seen in recent years on the backs of a series of landmark decisions in recent years that have included the legalization of same-sex marriage nationwide and repeal of the ban of gay people openly serving in the military. I just want to say this. You can say what you want about what you feel about it. I'm a Christian, so I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to stick with what the Bible says. End of the day, it is that's my standard bearer. So it doesn't matter what law says and all that. But as far as serving in the military and everything else, I think that's kind of rough that Donald Trump made that decision, that he did that way. And, you know, he is not a kind individual. He never has been, at least not from what I've seen. I'm looking at based off of his actions and the work that he's done. Nothing about him says that he cares about anybody other than himself and rich folks. Going forward with that, they just announced that they're going to delay the vote on Obamacare. It's just amazing to me. They're constantly trying to kill this medical service for people who need it, but every time they try to put a vote to the table, it dies. Every time they try to put a vote to the table, it dies. There is a reason behind that, and it's not going to. You can fix the plan. Just fix the plan. Fix the plan that's in place. But I've said this from the beginning. Donald Trump has one goal. His goal is to disassemble and dismantle every piece of legislation that President Barack Obama ever got passed. He is trying to disassemble it. That's all he wants to do. He wants to downgrade, denigrate, dismantle, whatever word you want to use. He wants to completely tear apart any and everything that our former president, Barack Obama, ever put in place. He does. His whole agenda, think about it, when he ran, his whole agenda was, I am not Barack Obama. I am not that guy. I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to do this and do that. And he ain't done nothing. 6 months in, he hasn't done anything. 6 months in office, he hasn't gotten one real good piece of legislation passed yet. Nothing. Because his whole agenda is to tear down everything that Obama put in place in the last 8 years. He hasn't done anything. That's his whole agenda. And the problem is, you can say what you want about Obamacare, about the Affordable Care Act. I said I was going to stop calling it Obamacare. You can say what you want about the Affordable Care Act. I know it has not been great. But there are people who have access to medical service that know, that did not have it. So what you're telling me is you would rather see those people go back to not being able to go to the doctor, to go back to not being able to get just basic, get their basic needs taken care of, just so you can say, I told you I was going to repeal and replace. And now they've gotten to the point, they don't even want to replace. They just want to repeal. They just want to kill it so they can say, I did it. See, and see, can I help my people, my conservative brothers? My conservative brothers. Can I talk to y'all for a minute? My conservative brothers, whether you be black, white, whatever, Hispanic, my conservative friends, you know, those of you on the far right. Y'all got excited when Donald Trump, in his inauguration speech, he made mention of God because he used a scripture. He used a scripture in his inauguration speech. Y'all remember? He used a scripture. And y'all was like, yeah, we got us one. No. Donald Trump don't know nothing. No one who was a Christian would make the decisions that this man is making. He has no desire to see people come up out of poverty. He has no desire to help those who cannot help themselves. He has no desire to help a group of people who have been tread upon and held back for years. He has no desire to do that. His only desire is to help him and his group of people, his elite, his top 1%, create more wealth for themselves. That's all he wants to do. Now, you can look at it any kind of way you want to, and that's fine. But I'm telling you what I know. He has no desire to see anybody who currently does not have get. He only wants to see those who have keep what they have. That's why he's going to try to roll back every even my people who said Donald Trump is good for business. Because I got some brothers who are conservative. You know, they're not really like right wing, but they're some friends of mine. They're conservative, but they like Donald because they said he was going to be good for business. Because I'll give him this: the stock market has went up since he's been in office, but it was already on an uptick. Stock market was on an uptick for the last 7 years. Under President Barack Obama, it went on a further uptick because they knew the banks and business and top end business people recognized that this guy was going to come in and kill a lot of regulation that was going to let them do what they were doing prior to the bubble bursting. I think we need to recognize that you need to be real careful and watch what's happening. Watch what's happening. Those of you who want to start small businesses, there's money for you under this president. There won't be any money for you. Don't believe the hype. Well, Donald is going to be good for business. Is he really? Is he really going to be good for business? Good for whose business? Trump business. He has lied from day one, and every time you bring up one of his lies to him, he goes and tries to turn the tables back on Hillary. Hillary ain't the president. Okay, she lost. Whether you like it or not, she lost. And because she lost, you the president. We not focused on her. We focused on you and what you're supposed to be doing. But every time somebody bring up Russia, he wants to bring up Hillary. Now he's attacking his own attorney general. He's attacking his own attorney general because his attorney general had a conflict of interest, so he recused himself, so he's no longer a part of the investigation about this Russia mess, and he's mad that the guy he put in place decided to do the right thing by saying, hey, I got some problems myself, so I can't properly adjudicate this situation, so I'm going to recuse myself and let somebody else do it. He's mad. It makes absolutely no sense, y'all. No sense whatsoever. None. None at all. But let me move on. Let me bring it back local. You listen to this TTLO Radio, Taking Limits Off Wisdom Wednesday. Let me give y'all some more information. This is the one. This is the one story. I heard this morning. I woke up with a. I went to sleep with a horrible headache. Woke up with a headache. Another headache this morning. Woke up late or whatever. But I'm kind of good right now, so I ain't gonna trip. I'm thankful regardless. But here is the one. Here is the one that got me this morning. I heard this on the news this morning when I woke up, and I just found it to be absolutely amazing. So, you know, all the issues that Chicago has been having, all the issues Chicago's had with the red light cameras. We got these red light cameras in the city. All these red light cameras and these speed cameras in the city. So this was announced today. I'm reading this updated 30 minutes ago on the Channel 7 ABC News website. It says millions of dollars are on the line for people who have gotten red light and speeding tickets in Chicago. The city council is expected to approve a $39 million settlement, which means drivers burned by red light and speed cameras in Chicago could get some money back in the mail if they qualify. A class action lawsuit was filed 2 years ago. It claimed drivers who got speeding and red light tickets were not given a second notice to pay their fines. A court decided the city violated its own rule by not giving the second notice. Community activists called the settlement a big victory for the citizens of Chicago. This was money revenue generated. This was a scheme that was conceived in corruption, illegally implemented to tax and punish citizens of Chicago. So the city council met Wednesday morning. It's like to sign off on the settlement deal. The paybacks will equal half of whatever people pay for the tickets, about $15. That money will come in part from money the city has received from prior legal settlements. I agree with Alderman Anthony Beal. Alderman Anthony Beal from the 9th Ward said this. He says, it's amazing how we can find all this extra money when we're trying to find extra resources for schools and everything else, but we got $39 million that we just got to pay off a lawsuit. We got $39 million. I would love to find out where this money is coming from. We ain't got no money for schools. We ain't got no money for schools. But we got $39 million. Somebody help me. They claim we ain't got no money to pay the teachers' pension. We ain't got no money to pay for this. You got kids with no books, no computers, no nothing. But we got $39 million. Y'all help me. $39 million. It's just amazing to me in this city. And our city, and you know, you can blame Rahm Emanuel and whoever else you want to. Our city, this city, Chicago, has been corrupt for years. Y'all know I ain't lying. Has been corrupt for years. Money just going wherever and to whoever. For years, this city has been corrupt. But we ain't got no money. But oh, we got some money for to pay this lawsuit off. Huh? We got money for that. I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to help somebody. I really want to know where the money come from. Y'all help me. Oh, Lord. Anyway, there's so much other stuff going on, but I just wanted to focus on those two things real quick for you. And then we're going to jump into today's conversation. So I hope y'all ready for this. If y'all haven't hit the share button, do so. I'm going to take a quick, 30 second break. It ain't going to even be that. Yeah. About 30 seconds. Going to take a real quick 30 second break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. It's going to be good. Be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, 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 and amen. So we got this really good article, y'all. And when I tell y'all it's a good article, I know I say it all the time, y'all. He say every article is a good article. No, we have a really good article conversation started for today dealing with church revitalization. we often talk about it. But let me, before I get to the article, let me not. I feel bad. I haven't spoke to y'all in the room. Some of y'all have already missed your name. So if I don't call it, it's because I didn't see it, because it's already been missed. So I'm just gonna go from the names from what I see from the top down. Mark Atkins, what's up, my brother? You should have been here today with me. You see the chair empty. You could have came over here today with me. Sheldon Wilson, God bless you. Yvette Quinones, God bless you. Nadoris King, God bless you. Dana Miller, God bless you. Adrian William Smith, what's up? Kathleen Savon down in Georgia, God bless you. Fenice Artiside, God bless you. Apostle Robert L. Harvey, God bless you. Hope the Barber, God bless you. Gabrielle Morris, my God, baby mama, God bless you. Yvonne Woods, God bless you. Renee Cherise, God bless you. Norma Worthy, what's going on? God bless you. Let me see. Carolyn Hendall Henderson, God bless you. Keith Gordon, Pastor Gordon, Body of Love of Christ Church, God bless you. Barbara Ratliff, God bless you. Claudine Boucher, or is that Boucher? You know, you can never know. God bless you. Roy Summers, what's up, Bowling Buddy? Hope you're recovering well from your surgeries, man. God bless you. Marissa Williams, God bless you. Anitra, with that big old long name, Anitra Howard, God bless you. Amazing. Let me keep going. Oh, Yolanda Robinson, what's going on, my sister from St. Louis? Kingdom man in the house. God bless you. Love it. Let me see. Pat Lewis, what's going on, mama? I see you. God bless you. Let's see. Who else? Let me see. Anitra says, you better say it. Priorities are messed up. Yeah. Very, 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 very messed up. Yeah. They did the same thing down in St. Louis. I see that, Sister Robinson. Absolutely. Legally issued violations to a car and not a physical person. Yeah, that's a mess. So we definitely want to keep that, man. So those of you who live in the city of Chicago, y'all need to check y'all mail. Might have a little check coming. You might have a little check coming. So you may want to check your mail. To see if you got a little check coming back from the city of Chicago. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you get that check, you better cash it quick because they might change their mind. Get that check and cash it quick. Anyway, you guys, we have this really great article, 10 Roadblocks to Church Revitalization. 10 Roadblocks to Church Revitalization. This was written by Tom Rainer. Here's again. Let me say this. I love reading books, Christian books by Christian authors, because they give you different perspectives on how and what's going on with Christianity and with churches today. I know we have the Bible. I know the Bible is our source. The Bible is our main reference point. But from the Bible were written millions and millions of books that are Bible-based to help you in your church or your ministry situation. I don't care if you're in a music ministry. I don't care if your ministry is in administration, whether it be financial, spiritual, youth churches, youth Sunday schools, worship, whatever it might be. There is a book. There are Bible-based written books that can help you out of your situation. That's why we use these articles on the show, because we want to, because every time we do these, we know that it touches or impacts your or your church's particular situation. Amen. So it's good stuff. So here we go. 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. This is by the author. The author of this one is Tom Rainer. He's an amazing, amazing author. If you've never read any of his information, you really should. He's an amazing author. Always gives good and relevant information for those who are about ministry. Amen. Again, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to call into the show, area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. Y'all better get used to having that phone number, because you're going to need that phone number to win them tickets on Friday. You're going to need that phone number to win them tickets. Area code 347-934-0546. Or you're going to need that email address to win tickets. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You're definitely going to need them. Good. Man. Wait a minute. It says the Kingdom Brotherhood plans to come and visit you soon. Call me. We got a lot to get caught up on. Okay. Absolutely, Yolanda. Absolutely, I will do that. Absolutely. Amen. Let's jump right into today's conversation. So the writer says this. He says, please pause for a moment. Please prayerfully consider the words you are about to read. Then he says, please ask God for his strength to overcome these roadblocks. The writer says this: you have seen the data. You know that 2/3 of our churches have plateaued or are declining. Even more among the declining churches are those that are on the precipice of closing, following the pattern of 10,000s of other churches that have already closed. And then the question is why? He says, why are so many churches not moving forward? Since so many of our churches are in need of revitalization, let's begin by seeing what roadblocks hinder turnaround. What roadblocks hinder turnaround? This is good. This is good. Here are 10 of the most common roadblocks that hinder church revitalization. Number one says this, comfort. He says resistance to change. He says this theme has been repeated many times, but there is a reason for the redundancy. It is true. Until our church leaders and members redirect the focus of self-serving to serving others, church members will always be more concerned about my needs. That attitude leads to comfort and resistance of change. I'm going to say this real quick. If you're comfortable in your church, meaning you're comfortable with your situation, your church ain't growing, and you know it ain't growing, but you comfortable, your church, 9 times out of 10, is probably on the downside, it's in decline, or it's 5 minutes from closing. Let me say that again. If you're comfortable in your church knowing that your church does nothing but serve its members, if you're comfortable in your church and you know it does nothing but serve its members, then you got to know that your church has some issues. Your church is in turmoil. Your church is on the decline. Because you're comfortable sitting in the mess. You don't have any ideas. You don't let anybody who has any ideas, you keep them underfoot. You don't allow them to go forward. And it becomes exactly what we show it is. It becomes a stagnant group of people. And I've said this before. If you ever see stagnant water is infected water. Any water that just sits. Any water that just sits in a puddle, 9 times out of 10, it becomes infected and diseased because it's sitting there. There is no flow to it. There is no life to it. It's just sitting there festering. And if that's what your church is doing, then your church is just sitting there festering, collecting diseases. If you're getting the same thing over and over again, that's the internet connection. I'm not sure what's going on. That's the internet connection. I'm not sure if it's not me. That would be the internet connection. I apologize for that if that's the case, but that's not something I can control. That's not something I can control. Anyway, let me keep it going. Number two says this. We're going to do this, y'all. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to see what's going on with this internet. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Come right where you are.
Live on Facebook. We're back live on Ustream. Everything is back up and operational. We apologize for that little hiccup, but we are good. Y'all come on back in. Come on back in. Let somebody know that we are back live. Amen. Amen. As I was saying earlier, we were talking about 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. That's today's topic of conversation. And I just hit you all with number one before we got interrupted slightly there. I had to fix that part, that side of the broadcast. But we are good and we are back. So check this out. We have I'm going to continue with this. It's actually pretty good and it's working out. Y'all come on back in the room. I see y'all trying to get on back in here. I see you. Come on in. Press on in, as they say. I'm going to give y'all a chance before I continue. I'm going to give y'all a chance. We have 30 minutes left in the show, so we got time to finish the article. So y'all come on in. We got time. Amen. I'm going to give y'all a chance to come on back in the room and get on back in. We're going to keep the music going. Amen. I know some of y'all are working, so y'all don't mind the music. So y'all good. Y'all good. Y'all keep on coming. Keep on coming back in. I know we had some little technical issues a few minutes ago, but what can you do when they happen? You just keep moving, right? You just keep moving. So y'all come on back in. Amen. While we're waiting for everybody to join back in with us, we were kind of talking about church revitalization a little bit before we got interrupted, and I wanted to give everybody a chance to catch up with where we were prior to that happening. We're talking about being comfortable, and I use this term all the time about being comfortable and settling. When you're comfortable, you settle. And the best analogy, and I love this analogy, I probably always have used it enough, and some of y'all have heard it enough, from me that you're like, okay, here he go again. But here's the deal. When you're comfortable, you serve no purpose. Let me repeat that. I repeat that. When you're comfortable, you serve no purpose. I'll say it again. When you're comfortable in your surroundings, you're really not serving any purpose. You're really not doing any work. I'll give you an example. I am a West Sider by birth. Lived on the West Side the majority of my childhood life and the early part of my adult life. But I'm a West Sider who was raised by a West Sider who was raised by a woman from the country. And black folk love us some, you know, some folk like oatmeal, some folk like cream of wheat or whatever, but I like grits. I'm a person who likes grits. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. I'm talking about being comfortable, but being of no use. If you take a box of grits, everybody, and I'm talking about real grits. I ain't talking about them instant ones. I'm talking about a regular old box of grits with the red label, with the white man on it, the Quaker Oats dude, you know, a box of grits. That box of grits, when you get it, when you see it, it's in a box, and it's in a nice, nice shiny box. It's got a nice little plastic top on it, and it's good. Here's the problem. As long as the grits stay in the box, don't miss this. As long as the grits stay in the box, they serve no purpose. They do you no good as long as they stay in the box. Right? But what it takes to make those grits useful is boiling water. And you know, if you've ever cooked them before, you pour them slowly into boiling water. And while that water is rolling, the grits start to move around. And it's not until they start to settle after this explosion that happens, it's not until they start to settle that they start to grow, and then they become this delectable meal that we then get called breakfast. But you have to take them out of their comfort zone, out of the box that they're in, and put them into something that is very uncomfortable, this boiling water. But they serve the people no purpose until I take them out of the box. I can't feed you dry grits out the box. If I give you dry grits out the box, for one, it does you no good. It serves you no purpose. It does not taste good. It does your body no good. But if I take them out of their comfortable situation, put them in an uncomfortable situation, what ends up happening is it now become useful. A lot of us in our churches, help me, Lord, a lot of us in our churches, and we have gotten comfortable and useless. We have gotten comfortable and useless. God can't use you comfortable. Come on, somebody. He can't use you comfortable. If you read the Bible about anybody that God used in the Bible, 9 times out of 10, they were not comfortable in their situation. Oh, my God. 9 times out of 10, they were not comfortable. He took them out of comfortable situations. When Jesus went and chose the disciples, I know I got to get back to the article, but I'm giving y'all a chance to share this so we can get the people back in that we're in before. I don't want them to miss it. But when Jesus went out to pick the disciples, he didn't get folk that were, he got folk, they were put into uncomfortable situations. Stay with me. They were put into uncomfortable situations, situations that they had never been in before, situations that that made them have to do a little work, situations that did what? That tested their faith. If you really want your church to be revitalized, you got to get outside of your comfort zone. Come on, somebody. If you go, I'll take it a step further. Those of you who do not go to the gym, help me, Holy Ghost. Those of you who don't go work out, you comfortable in your situation, right? You comfortable being overweight. You comfortable having that little pouch around your belly. You comfortable having that little roll. Your pants go over your stomach. Your stomach go over your pants. You comfortable with being out of breath, walking up a flight of stairs. You okay with that. But when you go to the gym to try to transform your life, you have to do some things in the gym that make you uncomfortable. But the results, come on, somebody, the results is what you're looking for. But in order to get those results, you have to go through some uncomfortable situations. Oh, my God, I'm preaching to somebody. You got to go through some uncomfortable situations. Your body has to hurt. When you start lifting, when you start walking on that treadmill and all of a sudden you can't hardly breathe, that's because your body isn't used to dispensing that much energy. But if you keep going, what happens is your body starts to say, hey, this is a little hard, but I can keep going. This is a little rough, but I can keep going. This is taking me outside of my comfort zone, but I can keep pushing it. And what happens is you can only do 2 minutes on that treadmill. I'm still talking about point number one. I know. You can only do 2 minutes on that treadmill. But what happens is after a time passes, that 2 minutes becomes 10. But it took you a while. It took you a level. It took you a length of time of being uncomfortable to make it from 2 minutes to 10 minutes. You probably can only walk a half a mile on the treadmill when you started. But now you can walk 2 miles on the treadmill. You probably, if you started walking a track, you probably can only make it around that track one time without holding on to your pants legs and leaning up against the fence. But it took you being uncomfortable. Huh? It took you being uncomfortable to get to an area where all of a sudden you're now becoming useful. If Facebook acting up again, y'all, ain't nothing I can do about it. It's doing its own thing. It ain't my fault. I apologize now, but it ain't my fault if it's acting up again. Y'all let me know in your comments. Let me know if it's acting up. I got the live feed on this screen. And I got the video feed that y'all see on this screen. And my video that y'all see on this screen is clear. So if y'all is acting up, I would ask you to go out of your video and come back in. That's what I would ask you to do. Amen. So we cannot be comfortable. You cannot be comfortable because if you get comfortable in a situation, you start dying. You start dying. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Number two. Number two says this. Lack of knowledge. Uh-oh. Lack of knowledge. The writer says this. He says, because many of our churches have been negligent about reaching beyond their own walls, they lack the knowledge to know how to get out of the rut and revitalize. Many church leaders and members have good intentions. They simply don't know the next steps. This is why I say all the time, you got to read more than the Bible. Let me help somebody. You got to read more than the Bible. You got to read information from those who have already been where you are. You got to read information from pastors who've been in this thing for 25 and 30 years, who've seen churches go, who've seen churches close, who've birthed new churches, who've planted churches. You have to see what they went through so you don't make the same mistakes. A lot of reasons so many churches are going through what they're going through is because they're making the mistakes of people who've gone before them, but because they're too stubborn to find out what that church did to change their situation, they keep going through the same thing, expecting a different result. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me. I'm trying to get you to a place where you recognize, that you have to go out and seek the knowledge. Even if you're, I don't care if you've been pastoring 20 years, you don't know everything. And if you only hang around people, watch this. If you only hang around people who know exactly what you know, come on, then where are you going to get your learning from? If I'm only hanging around people who have the same level of knowledge that I have, where is my learning going to come from? Help me. Help me, y'all. Please, somebody. If y'all having issues on Facebook Live, you can go to Ustream. I'm going to put the link in here for the Facebook people. If you're having issues on Facebook Live, I'm going to put the link up here for you. If you're having issues on Facebook Live, you can go there. Ledbetter, what's going on, Ledbetter? I see you. I see you, Ledbetter the third. What's going on? But if you got to learn how, and he could chime in on this. If you was free, man, I would hit this invite button and get you on here real quick. But you can't only be around people who know the same information that you do. I hang around. Look, as a youngster, I wanted to be around people who knew more than I did. As a young preacher today, I want to talk to people who've been in the game longer than me. I want to know people, you know, I want to sit around pastors that got some degrees. No offense to the ones that don't have any. But I need to sit around some pastors that have some degrees. I understand you got experience. But I want to know to talk to some pastors who've got some educational experience. Because if you only know what I know, then how can we glean from each other? Huh? If you only know what I know, then how can you help me and how can I help you? If we know the exact same information. You get what I'm saying? So you cannot be afraid to go out and seek knowledge from other pastors, from other book authors, from writers, from consultants, from whoever you can. Even a great businessman knows he does not know it all. Anytime you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. I don't ever want to be the smartest person at the table. That's why it's good for you to build a team of people around you who actually can add some insight. It's great that you have the vision, but you're going to need people around you to help push that thing forward. You could have a really great vision, but have horrible marketing skills. You could have a great vision and have horrible administrative skills. Guess what's going to happen with your vision? Nothing. Ain't going to go nowhere. Because you're too afraid to say what you don't know how to do. So rather than admit and humble yourself enough to say, hey, I got this thing, but I don't know how to get it. I don't know how to get the word out, or I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to use social media for marketing. I don't know how to do advertising. I don't know how to create a spreadsheet. I don't know how to do this for my finances. You got to get around people who've been successful at doing it. Hey, man, this is good. This is good. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. That was number two. Did I share number two? Did I share number two? I don't think I did. Hold on. That was number two. Yeah, number two. So number three says this. Despair and defeatism. Uh-oh. Despair and defeatism. This one, we ought to know this one all too well. We really should. I hate to say it, but we ought to know this one all too well. Despair and defeatism. This is what the writer says. The writer says, it's a vicious and deadly cycle. He says churches begin to decline, and that decline leads to despair and defeatism. Then that attitude exacerbates the decline and thus leads to greater despair and defeatism. Simply meaning those people around you who say, we can't do it. Simply saying, we can't do it. We ain't gonna make it. We're about to die. Who wants to be around people like that? Seriously, think about this. If you're in the middle of a fight, and it's three of y'all. Let me make it easy. It's five of y'all, and the numbers that you're against are overwhelmingly against you. But if all five of y'all say, hey, you know what? If we going out, we going out like champs. We gonna fight through this thing, and we just gonna keep going. We gonna fight. But if only two of y'all are talking positive. And the other three saying, man, we ain't going to make this. Ain't no sense of even trying. Ain't way finna win this fight. You already lost. Because, see, that's a sign of people who have no faith and the spirit of defeatism that the writer is talking about, and a spirit of despair. You can't win if you go into the fight already thinking you ain't got no chance. Can I talk to my athletes? You ever got into a game and you go, well, we ain't got a shot? No. I don't want to be on your team if that's the way you think. Now, everybody else on the outside can bet against me. Everybody else watching can count me out. But if you can't be on my team, say you on my squad, and then count me out at the same, and then be talking about we ain't going to make it. It was this old cartoon back in the day. We'll never make it. We'll never make it. I don't want you on my squad. You always think we're going to lose. You always think we're never going to make it out of a situation. Then why are you here? Why show up if you have a defeatist attitude? It's just like folk who go to work saying, oh, I don't know why I'm going to work. It's going to be rough when I get there. Why say that? Why claim that? Why put that out into the atmosphere? Why claim that mess? Despair and defeatism. That's crazy. You already lost. If that's your mindset, you already lost. If that's your mindset, you serve nobody, no purpose whatsoever. None whatsoever. Let's keep going, y'all. We're talking about 10 roadblocks to church revitalization. Number four says this. Woo. Perception that programs are ends instead of a means. I'll say it again. Perception that programs are ends instead of a means. The writer says this. If we only use the program that worked so well 20 years ago, if only our denomination gave us the right programs. He says there are two erroneous ways of thinking about programs. The first is to reject programs and resources altogether. That is just not wise with the abundance of great programs available. He says, but the other erroneous perception is to see programs as the ends instead of the means. That is the attitude of a program-driven church. What do I mean by programs? Church programs. I ain't talking about ministry. I'm talking about church programs. Let me help y'all out. Let me go down the Baptist church programs. Let me help y'all out. First one, church anniversary program. That ain't ministry. Second one, pastor's anniversary program. That ain't ministry. Men's Day program. That ain't ministry. Women's Day program. That ain't ministry. Family and Friends Day program. That ain't ministry, but I'm going to put a question mark next to it. Family and Friends Day program. That ain't ministry. Church choir anniversary program. That ain't ministry. Youth Day program. That ain't ministry. All these things are signature programs in the church. And we like to use those programs. Like the writer says, we treat those programs as ends instead of a means to get somewhere. We treat those programs as the end all be all of everything. But what happens is this. This is why we set ourselves up for great letdowns. We put all this money and effort into a program for one day. And then after we have this successful program and y'all done shouted and done did backflips and did all the stuff that y'all normally do, and then the following week you go back to doing church, now you mad. Now you mad because you want to know, well, how come all these people showed up last week that didn't show up this week? Because it was a program. It was a program. It wasn't a ministry movement. See, ministry draws people. Program is an event. Oh, my God, don't miss that. Programs are just events. I invite you. It's just like I invite, we have Men's Day, and I call all the fellas I know. Hey, fellas, I want y'all to come to my Men's Day program. That's a program. Now, there's a possibility, if some of them ain't saved, that might be a catalyst for them. But that can't be the only way I reach out to men is once a year through my Men's Day program. Can I help somebody? Oh, now, if I got a men's ministry, see, work with me. If I got a men's ministry, then that means all year long I'm working on building and uplifting men. So then by the time it comes time for the program, now here comes all of these men, watch this, that I've already been working with. If I got a women's ministry, it's not just about, oh, well, let's go find some women to preach and all blah, 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 and then that's it. And then we go back to being catty women. I don't like her. She don't like me and all that. That's a program. That's not ministry. You got to know what ministry is. Ministry ain't having a program every other month in your church. Ain't no ministry behind that. You want people to show up because, oh man, my choir concert. Okay, great. Man, I got this program. I got that program. But where is your ministry? You want to put a tent up and do a revival, but you ain't never went out and talked to the folk in the community. Uh-oh. Sorry. You want to put a tent up in the parking lot or in your church's parking lot or wherever it is, but you never do any outreach, but you expect just because you put up said tent that folk just going to show up because you put a tent up. Church does not work that way. Church does not work if we build it, they will come. It don't work that way. Ministry is a year-long process. Don't miss this. Men's Day, Women's Day, Family and Friends Day, just like with Family and Friends Day. If you've been out in the community all year long dealing with families, dealing with men, dealing with women, if you've been out in the community dealing with children, you got programs that are geared towards children, ministries rather, that are geared towards children. By the time your youth day comes, it will be packed because all year long you have been gearing your ministry towards children. You've been building your youth ministry. So by the time youth day comes around, your youth day has an explosion of children. If you've been working with men all year long, by the time Men's Day comes around, your Men's Day program is full of men. But see, our programs are just geared for that Sunday. Oh, well, we just need to look good and sound good that Sunday. I don't care nothing about you as a man. I don't care nothing about you as a brother or women. I don't care nothing about you as a sister. I just want y'all to show up on Sunday with your yellow and your white, or your pink and your white, or whatever color it is I told you to wear, so we can look unified, even though we can't stand one another. Oh, my God. Y'all help me. But that's what we do. When you are a program-driven church instead of a ministry-driven church, you can tell the difference between ministry-driven churches and program-driven churches. Let me give you a very good example of a ministry-driven church. And I brag about his church all the time, Lifeline Church, Pastor Reggie Royal. That is a ministry-driven church. They don't just do a program because they want to have a program. All of their programs are a culmination of the work that has been done leading up to said program. Their programs are a result of the ministry that's been done leading up to the program. Huh? Antioch Baptist Church. Love of Christ Baptist Church. Maine Baptist Church. Freedom Baptist Church. They do work prior to the program. You have to do these things. It just can't be program driven. There has to be some ministry behind it. What is it? Freedom. Freedom has this program. What is it called? Raise the Praise. Raise the Praise. Raise the Praise is a program they have right around Easter, right around Resurrection Sunday, right around Easter, the week before, the week after, right? But they have stuff all year long leading up to that. There's things going on all year long that is preparation for that. You can't just say, hey, we're going to do this program and just, okay, and then that's it. Nothing, and then you wonder why nobody's at your church the following week. It's just, I'll give you a very good example. A whole lot of churches right now in the city of Chicago and surrounding areas are in the midst of their vacation Bible school right now. My question is this: what did you do leading up to vacation Bible school? Had you already developed a relationship with the children in your block or on your block and in your communities? Or did you think just because you have vacation Bible school, 55 kids are just going to walk in the door because all of a sudden you're saying you have a vacation Bible school? Or did you actively go out seeking children prior to that? Let me move on. I got 5 minutes. Let me move on. I got 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I knew I was going to get caught up. I knew I was going to get caught up. That was number four. Number five says this, the magic bullet syndrome. Uh-oh. He says, this obstacle views the path toward revitalization to be one simple solution. It could be the program noted above. It could be the calling of a young pastor without any other changes. It could be the return of a worship style. The magic bullet syndrome never works. Never. What does that mean? I'll break it down in context for you. There is no one simple solution to fix your problem in your church, especially when your problem is 10, 20, 30 years old. There is no magical solution to fix the problem in your church. There is no magic bullet for it. It does not exist. It does not exist. Anybody that says it does not. A revitalization plan is probably going to have four or five steps that are going to be needed to not only start the revitalization, but get it going in a way that you can then move from one program, from one ministry, or from fixing one item to the next. Most revitalization plans are in steps. They're in phases. And if your church is lacking in a bunch of different areas, then guess what? You can't fix it all at one time. A great pastor can't come in the door and fix it. I don't care if it's T.D. Jakes. I don't care if it's Bill Winston. I don't care who it is. They can't walk in the door and fix it all at one time. It's going to be done in phases. If your youth ministry is non-existent in your church, if your music department is non-existent, if your administrative ministry is bad, brand new pastor come in the door, all that ain't going to be fixed the day he say I do. All that ain't going to be fixed The day he say I do, meaning the day he's installed, all of that don't get fixed. The day y'all vote him in, it don't change the next day. There's work that needs to be done. And here's my question. If you ain't doing no work now in the current situation, when the new pastor come, what you going to do? Because, see, if you were willing to work, you'd already be working. Let me move on. My God. Woo. My. Help me. Yeah. So that was number five, the magic bullet syndrome. What I got? 4 minutes. Come on, y'all. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray with me. We'll get through it. Number six. Number six says this, lack of awareness about the community. Uh-oh. The writer says, most churches in need of revitalization really don't know the community in which they are located. If they happen to open their eyes to the community demographics and needs, they are often shocked about their misperceptions. Do you know the community your church is in? Do you even know? Do you know 10 people? Uh-oh. You as a member, let me ask you that question. I ain't going to put it on the membership. I ain't going to put it on the leaders of the church. I'm going to put it on the members of the church. Do you know 10 people in your community? Huh? 10. 10. Do you know 10 people in your community? Because if you're not aware of your surroundings, how are you going to be of any use to somebody that's in need when you don't know what it is they need? But you just started a program. Well, you know, I want to do this. I want to do that. Your community might not need that. You start a food pantry and you're surrounded by 5 food pantries, but you're going to start one anyway. Okay. I hear what you're saying. But okay. Number seven says, evangelistic apathy. He says, this roadblock is pervasive in our churches. If we aren't sharing the gospel, how can we expect to reach people with the gospel? If you aren't sharing the gospel, how can you expect to reach people in the gospel? Now, I see somebody on the line. It's a private call. You pushed one. I don't know. I don't see a number. Did you really mean to push one? Are you really trying to get in, or are you just somebody else? My producer's not available to take your call. So if you're sitting on the line waiting to get through, there's no phone number that came up. So sorry, can't take. We don't take radio calls from private callers. Sorry, not gonna happen today. Not gonna happen. But we appreciate you calling and you keep listening. But we thank you. Appreciate you. You can't be apathetic. You can't be sitting around scared to share the gospel with people. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. It's not going to do anybody any good for you just to keep getting all the information on Sundays and Wednesdays and whatever information you're getting, whatever information you're getting, and then you don't want to go out and talk to the people. Thank you, Pat. Raise the Praise focuses on our youth. Our youth program is the only organization in the church that is open to all children. You don't have to be a member of Freedom. She's absolutely right. She said there's a children choir, mime and dance ministry, drill team ministries. All children are welcome. We have an outstanding youth program, and yes, they do. And she is absolutely right. Because they got a bunch of kids who dance at their church, who perform, who work in the ministry at their church that aren't members of their church. I love that. Let me say this, too, about wildlife at First Baptist Church, First Baptist Congregational. My buddy Danny Jones is the youth pastor. His wildlife ministries, a lot of the kids that are part of his ministry aren't members of their church. Don't have to be. Don't have to be. I'm going to post these other two, y'all, because I got to go. I'm gonna give y'all these other two real quick. The other one says number 8 is deflection of blame, and number 9 is short-term leadership, and number 10 is failure to consider being acquired by another church. That's a lot. That's a lot. Oh, my God. I hate I ain't got time to. Oh, my God. I hate I ain't got time to finish this out. I really do. I'm going to post the rest of these on Facebook for y'all so y'all have them. I'm going to post them up there for you all, and then I'll make sure I give y'all the article, too, so you all can read the article for yourself and you can finish reading it. It's really an amazing article. But y'all need to do this, man. This is good, 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 good. Let me do this real quick. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time that we had to share today, God. We thank you even for the problems we had with our system today, God. God, we thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the watchers on Facebook Live. We thank you for the watchers on Ustream. We thank you for the listeners on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for the listeners on Ustream. God, we thank you for the Facebook Live listeners and watchers. God, we thank you for those who are going to watch later. We thank you for those on YouTube. God, we just thank you for all of them, God. Now, right now, we ask that you would continue to cover them and keep a hedge of protection around them. God, we ask that you would bless their churches and bless their pastors and bless their families. God, we send a special blessing to any of those churches that are in need or in violation and don't know what to do. God, we ask that you would give the listener who's listening right now the courage and the conviction to take this article to their church leaders and say, hey, I know we're struggling. Have y'all considered this? Give them the mindset to want better, to know better, to do better, and to expect better. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be good. Y'all stay blessed. Man, I got to go. I got to go. You know, stuff happens, man. I got to go. Got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Peace out.
He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And how many know that when you get in trouble, you can call him and he'll come to your rescue? But you can't look cute and you can't be quiet, but you got to open your